It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, October 13th. I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson. Today is the day virtual reality goes mainstream for millions. It's the day that Sony's PlayStation VR, the $400 add-on that works with the PlayStation 4, ships and arrives in stores. It is the cheapest of the high-end immersive virtual reality rigs. It's less than the Oculus or the HTC Vive. So did Sony just claim the first VR victory? Corey Johnson covers technology for Bloomberg. Corey, what does this mean for competitors like Oculus?
I think it's really bad news for Oculus or anyone else. I mean, Sony walks into this with 43 million units installed already. They think they're going to get to 60 by the end of the year. 60 million units that have the potential to run VR. And I think that that's such a head start over anything that Oculus or anyone else can offer that they are going to be the clear leader right from the get-go.
Okay, but fun fact, the first immersive VR device was actually patented in 1962, Morton Heilig's Sensorama. We've been working on virtual reality for a while. Do you actually think this is the moment, the pivotal moment when people are getting these in their homes?
It's not for everyone, but I think that it's going to be a big thing. There have been some studies done. MagAdvisors did a study out just this week that showed that there is tremendous interest among gamers for virtual reality. And I think the gaming aspect is easily overlooked, but you know, fundamentally, a game's got to be good for people to want to play it. It doesn't need to be virtual reality. It doesn't need to be 3D or 2D. I mean, Tetris is one of the greatest games ever and has some of the crummiest graphics ever. And Sony gets that. They understand how the gameplay is different. If you talk to the executives at Sony, as we have, they say things like the experience is more arcade-like and less immersive first-person shooter or whatever. They know how games work. They know what game players want. And they're really developing to that first, not the technology first. And those are the kinds of things you'd expect to hear from the people who are going to win this battle.
And then one quick question before I let you go. What do you think happened to Oculus?
In the case of Oculus, these are technologists thinking about how to make a technology work, not game makers thinking about how to make a technology work. And so they are pushing the limits of the technology, but that doesn't mean the games are going to be any good. And that may be why they're having some issues.
Well, let's be honest. Sony knows how to get a product out the door.
There's no small feat. And they don't blow up like Samsung products, so they got that going for them.
Nice dig. Way to get that dig in there right at the end. Corey Johnson covers technology for Bloomberg. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Back in 1962, President John Kennedy had this to say about America's space ambitions.
We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Fast forward to President Obama speaking at the Kennedy Space Center in 2010.
By the mid-2030s, I believe we can send humans to orbit Mars and return them safely to Earth. And a landing on Mars will follow. And I expect to be around to see it.
And this week in Pittsburgh at the White House Frontiers Conference, the president is laying out his vision for how that might all come together. Amy Meinzer is an astrophysicist and senior researcher with NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. She's one of the speakers at the conference, and she joins me now on the line from Pittsburgh. Amy, you work with near-Earth objects like asteroids. How does that fit into the president's goal of going to Mars?
Well, one of the exciting things about such a grand vision for going to Mars with people is that it spurs innovation across a wide range of different topics. We've looked at sending people to asteroids. We've looked at sending people to the moon. Ultimately, of course, we'd love to send people to Mars. It's just really captured the public's imagination. So part of the way that we do that is we test out our technologies using robots. And we learn an awful lot about the science and the environment that astronauts would encounter using these robots. So for people like me studying asteroids, we can find potential targets for future exploration. And all of these things are teaching us a lot about these destinations, what it would be like and what we're going to need if we're going to go there.
Yeah, let's talk about what we're going to need. You work for NASA, very much, of course, a public entity. The president said cooperation between the private sector and the public sector is essential for the future of space travel. But what are the challenges there? Is there sort of an innate tension between public missions and private companies, which obviously need to make a profit?
Not at all. You know, it requires the combined efforts of many, many smart people across a wide array of sectors, both public and private. So we need everybody's combined brains to figure out these tough challenges. NASA works with private companies all the time, has for years. So there's a well-established set of rules of the road that everybody abides by. And the partnership between the private industry and NASA has been extremely successful. In fact, most of our missions, we compete and contract out large chunks of the work to the private sector. So it's already been a very strong partnership. And I'm confident that going forward, we can keep working this way.
Now, you also specialize in science education. You host a kids' television show called Ready, Jet, Go. But if we're to attain these goals, what do we need to be teaching our kids about space and science?
One of the key things we've got to teach kids is critical thinking. How do we make logical, fact-based decisions? And these are skills that are not just useful for building the next generation of space explorers, of course, but they're useful for building good citizens.
Amy Meinzer is an astrophysicist and senior researcher with NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
And in case you've lost track, over at space.com, there is a roundup of all the current efforts to get humans to Mars. There are NASA's plans, of course. Lockheed Martin has announced a Mars Base Camp space station. Obviously, there's SpaceX. Elon Musk wants to build a huge colony on Mars. And Netherlands-based Mars One is planning one-way trips starting in 2020. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.